All right, well, welcome everybody, and the purpose of today's briefing is to convey Cabinet's consideration on the issue of new rules for foreign charter fishing crews. As you will be aware, for some time there have been issues in the industry around ship jumping and issues around wages and conditions in the industry. And the government has today approved a substantial range of measures to improve conditions for foreign crew on foreign charter fishing vessels in New Zealand waters. The new measures include a mandatory code of practice with improved minimum working and living conditions, a requirement that a New Zealand party acts as a guarantor to ensure that crew are paid what they are owed, and an expectation that crew employment disputes will be settled in New Zealand. Can I say that I would like to acknowledge the work of the fishing industry with the government on the new code of practice and guarantees. We look forward to working with the industry to implement the new code and accountability framework over the coming year. The review aims to stop unsustainable practices such as foreign crew being taken advantage of or underpaid, and it aims to ensure that jobs are available for New Zealand crews where they are available. The government remains committed to a role for a well-regulated, sustainable charter fleet. However, it is important to avoid New Zealand fishing capacity being eroded by unfair, underpaid competitors. These new conditions will have to be met before the government will issue new approvals to fishing companies wanting to engage foreign charter partners who employ foreign staff. These approvals are only granted when no New Zealand crew are available to do the work. The government's also approved new minimum pay rates for fishing crew working on foreign charter vessels, which are in your handouts. From 1 January next year, the pay for foreign crew will gradually increase over 3 annual increments to a rate more comparable with New Zealand fishing crews. So that's our initial statement, and I'm happy to take any questions that any of you may have.
So how will these measures in sum stop exploitation of foreign fishing crews?
Well, we'll ensure that the terms and conditions upon which people are employed are comparable to the New Zealand domestic industry. Our compliance and enforcement efforts will be lifted to ensure that the conditions are met. And of course, the ultimate sanction is that if terms and conditions are met, the company concerned may not get approvals in principle for future crew.
But can you not do anything about existing crews, of which there are many, in terms of the compliance? Because if you only headlines with new approvals, what happens to the crews at the moment?
Well, the industry's had a very clear message that these are the rates that will apply from terms and conditions that will apply from 1 January, and they will cover all crews, and the typical approvals in principle are rotated on quite a short-term basis in any case. They range from a few months to a couple of years at the outside, and most of the ones that have been approved this year have been for shorter time periods because these discussions have been underway with the industry.
So how much will their pay increase? Because they're already being paid, theoretically at least, the minimum wage, are they not?
Yes, for those companies that have been paying the minimum wage, the wage impact will not be very substantial. From 1 January 2007, the applicable rate will be the minimum wage plus $1.25 an hour, gross of any permissible deductions, which will continue to include things like airfares, agents' fees, non-protective clothing, onboard entertainment, and those sorts of issues. So you may find a situation where some crews continue to earn around the minimum wage after deductions. There is anecdotal evidence, however, that some in the industry have not actually been paying the minimum wage, and for those companies this will, when combined with the increased compliance and enforcement, be recognised as a significant shift towards New Zealand norms.
Well, how well does this compare to what New Zealand fishing crews are paid then?
We commissioned some independent analysis to survey wage rates in the industry, and that came back saying that there was a very wide variation, both on wage rates and the way that it was calculated. Some it's a basic flat hourly rate, some it's 100% catch based, and some it's a mixture of both. So it's quite hard to say there's one market rate. But certainly we're aware that anything like the minimum wage has been very much at the low end of what's paid to domestic crews. And these steps will help to close that gap.
Initial reaction from seafood companies, and smaller and the larger ones, are saying that it's going to take a big chunk out of their profits and could, you know, do quite a lot of damage financially to them, particularly Māori fisheries. Do you accept that view or those views?
Well, that would imply that they've been paying significantly less than the minimum wage in the past. We've invited fishing companies to put before us evidence to substantiate those claims, and I can't say that we've received a great deal of hard fact.
So you don't think that this is going to have any particular financial impact on seafood companies?
It may have some financial impact on some, and that is a factor that the government has carefully considered in reaching the decisions that it has reached today. But to take the converse, if the fishing companies are suggesting that this industry should be special and there should be a dispensation to avoid paying the minimum wage or New Zealand market rates, that would fly in the face of both labour laws and immigration policy that applies to all other sectors. And in a world where we are becoming increasingly globalised, that would be an extremely risky position for any government in New Zealand to take.
But isn't this exactly what Air New Zealand, the government-owned company, is doing by subcontracting work to Fiji, for instance, at the moment?
New Zealand wages and conditions apply within New Zealand's jurisdiction, and the EEZ in which these guys are fishing is the New Zealand jurisdiction. I'm not briefed to comment, nor would I, on the practices of companies outside those concerned by today's announcement.
But to be consistent, if you're interested in the rights of workers, you've spoken about a globalised economy, you should be preventing government-owned airlines from subcontracting work offshore.
Look, I have to deal with the problems as I find them, and what I've found since becoming Minister of Immigration is some very varied practices within the New Zealand fishing industry for which, as Minister of Immigration, I have to sign off on improving the approvals of principle to bring crews into New Zealand. Today's announcements reflect a step towards sustainable, well-regulated practices in this industry, and that's what today is about.
Aren't the Sanfords of this world and the Tallies of this world, they're going to be laughing because they've got factory trawlers laid up available to get out and catch the quota? Maori companies don't have basic infrastructure, so all you're doing for the Maori companies is just depleting their rate of return for the quota that they're able to lease to the foreign-owned vessels. The locally owned major players in the New Zealand market will pick this quota up at considerably cheaper rates.
Tim, we've given considerable thought to the situation facing Maori fisheries interests, and Maori interests themselves vary considerably between those who are new perhaps to the industry and are using 100% charter operations.
Seawolves themselves are doing most of their work with charters.
They are doing some of their work with charters, and in recent times more of their work in charters. But I think the country faces a bit of a crossroads here. If what we're saying is that it's going to be okay for others to compete against the New Zealand industry using foreign wage rates, then of course in a few years' time there will be no New Zealand fishing industry whatsoever, because nobody will be able to compete against those wage rates. So I think what you'll see is today's announcement is a step forward for a sustainable New Zealand-based fishing industry which will benefit all, including many Maori interests, over the long term.
How will it stop ship jumping, do you think?
Well, it will reduce the incentive for people to jump ship for two reasons. Firstly, they will be treated better on board because we will be enforcing a mandatory code of practice that the industry itself has agreed to as part of these discussions. There will be stronger compliance and enforcement efforts to make sure that we don't have any more accusations like we've had in the last year about crews being beaten up by their officers and underpaid and sometimes taking refuge ashore from practices aboard ship. Now, that is not giving New Zealand a good reputation, and it is not okay in New Zealand with New Zealand's rule of law that that should occur. That's a breach of workers' rights, and it's got to be addressed. Now, the other reason that there will be a lower incentive for ship jumping is this will close the gap between what foreign crews earn on ships and what they would earn, for example, in the fruit picking industry, where I understand the minimum is about $12 an hour.
So what have they, if there's been underpayment, at what rates has it been, and what companies are responsible?
It's been rather difficult to work that out with great precision, Ruth, because you would have to have accurate information on the actual number of hours worked And in one case I can recall, the computer that recorded that information jumped overboard when the inspectors went to look at it.
If it's hard to work it out before, how are you going to enforce it now?
Well, we're going to be upgrading our compliance and enforcement efforts. There will be more resources devoted to that within the Department of Labour. And there will be, under the terms of the deed, the agreement that compliance officers can come on board at any time to inspect for the purposes of ensuring that this is adhered to. We wouldn't rule out the possibility of putting observers on board shifts, but we haven't made any definite plans in that regard yet.
Could that potentially be, could that come under the roles that observers and on board monitoring, could that be tagged onto the QMS, quota observers?
That's a discussion that we've yet to have. The primary purpose, obviously, of the QMS observers is to look at catch rates. And any amendment to that would require the agreement of the Ministry of Fisheries and the Minister.
You're also talking about the new approvals about New Zealand workers not being available. Is that a condition of approval now, or is that going to come under the new approval?
That's a condition of approval now, not only for the fishing industry, but for all other industries. We have a long-standing policy that if a New Zealander wants a job and they are able to do it, they get first pick at it. And we fill in the gaps using migrant labour. We don't throw Kiwis out of jobs to employ migrants on lower wage rates. That's a very fundamental policy of our immigration rules. Now, all we're doing here is applying the same rule to the fishing industry that we're applying to all others. And that's a very fundamental principle.
How many people are actually covered by this? Do you know
when
you apply for these things? Is
it hundreds? Oh, there are probably thousands per annum. Do officials have a more precise number?
3,600 last year.
Thank you, 3,600 last year, foreign crew in New Zealand.
And why not, can you not close the gap? I mean, you're still saying there's going to be a differential though, so it's clearly still going to disadvantage perhaps New Zealand workers.
Two issues there. One, I mean, we have listened to the fishing industry that too dramatic a change in a short time period might put unbearable pressure on them, and these decisions give the industry an adjustment path that's in the direction of equal treatment, and so we are trying to ensure that the legitimate needs of the industry for adjustment are met.
Do we know finally what sort of, I know you said it's difficult to necessarily quantify what New Zealand crews are getting, but what
try as we might, it's been extremely difficult to identify one number as being a representative number for the New Zealand crew. Certainly there's a wide range, and it depends on the skill level. You know, a qualified seaman might be getting $35 an hour, and an unqualified deckhand might be getting $12 or $14. Across various industries, there's a minimum going rate for unskilled seasonal labour, which cuts in around $12 an hour, and that's where this is pitched at this stage.
I know you're talking about increasing monitoring and compliance, but it's traditionally a very difficult industry, for obvious reasons, to make sure things are happening as they should be. It's just a matter of increasing staff. We actually don't employ something about this.
Well, there's been a very good step forward as part of this process. There have been discussions ongoing with the industry over the last 6 months, and a lot of progress has been made. The industry's brought forward, through consultation with officials, a deed which would set up a new accountability framework, better recording of hours worked, better understanding of minimum terms and conditions, industry voluntary agreeing to bind themselves to those. So I think there's a good basis for cooperation on a wide range of issues. What Cabinet's had to decide today is what we do about that wage gap, and that's been one of the most intractable issues to work through. So, I mean, overall there's been very good progress made, and I think the industry will progressively be a better place to work in the coming years, and we'll be making sure it is.
Did the industry admit or acknowledge that there have been problems and that they've maybe been turning a bit of a blind eye to it, given that they're the primary contractors?
The details of our discussions with the industry should be held in confidence as they were presented, but I don't think there'd be many people in the industry who would deny that there have been a range of practices employed and a range of real wages paid which have been below where they should have been.
So what, Gareth?
And logically speaking, if that hadn't been the case, then today's announcements would not represent a significant change for anybody.
So what guarantees do you have that as from the 1st of January next year, that there'll be no exportation, no ship jumping the curve?
I guess I've learned that in the world of commerce, as in the world of politics, nothing's ever perfect from day one. And I wouldn't say to you that there's never going to be another problem or never going to be another ship jumper. We've had ship jumpers in the dozens, if not hundreds, over the last few years, and there may be more going forwards. However, the process we've been through represents a very significant step forward on terms and conditions. We have the industry's voluntary agreement on a deed of understanding and an accountability framework. We're going to back that up with enhanced compliance, and we've made some decisions about the kind of minimum wage rates and permissible deductions that will form the basis of all future approvals in principle, without which companies cannot bring foreign crews into New Zealand.
So how many more immigration officers will be inspecting fishing boats and stuff like that?
We're just working through that, and it will be a matter partly of resources, and I'm not in a position to give that number today.
Because there's been a real problem with that in the past, hasn't there? There hasn't been enough people.
I'm not going to comment on matters that go beyond my portfolio, but we're obviously working in cooperation across agencies to make sure that we can field a compliance effort that the job requires.
You don't have even have a ballpark figure.
I'm not going to put a ballpark figure in public today.
On another matter, can you, in the case of the Thomas Yarra Guardian, I'm not sure that I'm saying it properly, but what's going to happen with this thing?
I have no idea. The case is not before me, and today's about fishing.
You have previously supported his right to, you've, as an MP, you supported moves to have him become a New Zealand resident. Why have you changed
your mind? No, I haven't. Today's about fishing. MPs handle constituency cases over the years, and I have not had that matter on my desk as Minister.
Well, as Minister, you must know what happens now. I mean, is he just going to stay locked up in prison?
The matter is between the Department and the Associate Minister, and you need to go to him for comment on that matter.
So given the fact today's about fishing, you have the total support of the Ministry of Fisheries with this policy announcement today, yourself and Ruth Dyson there?
Today is, it's actually the government that makes policy, and Cabinet's made a decision, and we're announcing it, and that's a collective decision.
Jim Anderton fully supports it?
Yes, he does.
Taito Philip Field, does Sunan Sirawani have any chance of getting back into New Zealand?
Today's about fishing.
Well, presumably not.
Today's about fishing, Ruth. Nice try.
Seeing today's about fishing.
Good on you, Tim.
We are fishing.
You are fishing.
In fact,
you're pretty good at it, but today's about fishing in the sea.
Today's about fishing and seamen, so presumably the whole issue of cabotage and what have you, payment of foreign crews that are actually working on the New Zealand coast, you'll be intervening on their behalf as well.
It may surprise you, Tim, but that wasn't in today's Cabinet paper, so I'm not empowered to comment on that, nor am I the Minister of Transport or the Minister of Economic Development nor the Minister of Fisheries. I'm relating myself to immigration matters.
It's about foreign crews, though, isn't it? That's what we're talking about.
Oh, in theory, in part, that is, and that's a very difficult issue, and it's not part of today's policy announcements.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, everybody. Thanks a lot, John.